If we do, they don't want to be a Daniel. They want to be like everybody else. Let's dare to be Daniels. Let's step out, man, and stand up for something. I remember back in David, I used to say, gosh, Christians used to come up to me, hey, you know, come to church. Oh, the house will fall down. The church can't handle me being in it, and this and that. I tell you what, this church didn't fall down when I stepped in it. Matter of fact, 2.5 years ago, I got saved because of this church, the people in here, the word of God being preached. This place ain't going to fall down because somebody walks in here who thinks they're evil, who thinks they're real bad. God can handle that. God can handle that. I used to sit back in the days, I read the Satanic Bible and did all that crazy stuff and the Satanism. I was in that. I walked in his house and he saved a person like that. How do you like that?
Amen.
Satan himself walked into the throne room of God where God was sitting. He just walked in there. So we can't handle a human being? God can handle that. You're okay with coming to church. It won't hurt you, I promise. It'll make you a better person. But anyway, we got godly sorrow and grief. That's what I want to talk about. There's a lot of sorrow. But God really showed me something in the Word of God today. And it just made a lot of sense to me. And we're going to start in Ecclesiastes 1. And sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow. A lot of grief in this world. But there's a couple kinds of it. And we're going to get into that. You know, by us doing what we want to do, we can cause our own grief and our own sorrow. But there is a godly sorrow. There's a godly grief. That's a good thing. But we're going to turn to Ecclesiastes 1. We're going to start in verse 17. I've got to get there myself. How's that? 1:17. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 17. It says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived this also is a vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Here we got Solomon saying, gosh, I got all this stuff, all this knowledge. He says, my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. But see that these things are a vexation of spirit. Why would he say something like, listen, let me tell you something. When God really started getting the Dale Moore by hearing the preaching, by sitting under the Word of God, I started getting some grief in me saying, my goodness, that's who I really am. Hey man, this is what you are. God really had to show me what Dale Morey was before anything could happen in my life. You think that made me happy to see what I was? That brought me sorrow. That brought me much grief. I wrote some things down. He says, why Solomon said there's much grief and wisdom and increased sorrow with increased knowledge? Because the more we see and live for God and His righteousness and realize the state of mankind and the evil in our hearts and our thoughts, it brings much grief and sorrow. The more you let the Word of God get into your heart and your mind, the more you open up to see, my goodness. I didn't get saved happy. I didn't sit there and say, oh, yeah, thank you God, I'm happy now. You know, I've been a good person my whole life. Things always went well for me. No, I got saved in sorrow and grief. I mean, I got saved. Listen, I was about as mad as a constipated rattlesnake the night I got saved. I mean, God had just torn me apart. He just had ripped me open, exposed my heart and myself to me. And I tell you, I was mad. I was crying. I mean, I was just tore off the frame second to none the night I got saved. That's what God had to do to me. For me to get saved. I'm not saying everybody's going to be like that. Some people get saved in peace, and that's okay. But for a knucklehead and a hard head like me, it took a lot. I mean, it took a lot. I mean, it took a beating for me to really wake up and say, man. And I was in sorrow and grief. This is when a lost person comes to the point of repentance and gets saved. When this person can finally sit back, and I'm going to get into that, the more they learn the things of God and the human nature, that's we're all born without God. We're born separated from God. When that child is in the womb and is separated from God, it has a sin nature. That's what keeps us from God. And then we sin because of that sin nature. If I didn't have a sin nature, I wouldn't sin. That's that separation. You have to look at yourself. There's people in this room today. I say that, it doesn't bother them. They don't realize that they have a sin nature. They realize they just do things because that's their decision. That's what they want to do. You're sadly mistaken. You have a sin nature dwelling inside of you that makes you do those things.
You have to realize,
to even come to a point of any kind of salvation, you just really have to get to that in your head. You have to get that into your mind. You have to get that into your heart and say, man, that's what I really am. I have a sin nature that makes me do these things. It keeps me separated from God.
That person, Job 33. A lot of people hit on this. I really love this. I really believe this is a person who's in repentance, who's ready to be saved. Just ready to get it done with God. Just ready to be right. And we're going to go to Job 33. It's a few books over. In verse 27. Job 33:27. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned.
You have to come to that point in your life. When you really honestly in your heart and your mind, listen, I'm gonna even go farther than your heart and mind. I'm gonna say your whole being. You have to come into the realization that you have sinned. Who'd you sin against? It's not the people. You've sinned against a holy and just God. That's what sends you to hell. Sinning against Him. Not what you do. It's not anything that you guys know my past. I got a 17-page rap sheet. I was a drug addict, alcoholic. I've done everything under the sun that you probably pretty much could do. Done every drug, been alcoholic, and everything else. And that's what separated me from God. I realized that did me no good. I did some good in between that stuff. It's not like I was just all day, every day, just a horrible person. I did some good in between there. But that good didn't do me no good standing before God. As it says here in Job 27, He looketh upon men, if any has to say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right. Perverted that which was right. How many times in our life have we perverted that which was right? How many? Over and over. Listen, young people. I don't care if it's kissing, feeling, rubbing. Listen, all that stuff is perverted. And something that's going against what's right. The Bible tells you to stay clean and pure. That's what He wants you to do. He's not trying to punish you. You see, when God tells us not to do something, it's not for punishment. It's for our own good. I wish to God that people in my life would have listened to the things that God told them not to do, because then I wouldn't have to suffer their wrath. You get that? Parents? You're making your kids suffer your wrath for not listening to what God tells you to do. Huh? You pervert that which is good. You pervert that every day which is good. God is telling you stop perverting that which is good. You're a sinner. Okay, you've realized that and you've come to repentance. Do you know you can still pervert that which is good? I know I've done it since I've been saved. But I'm just telling you, you've got to come to the realization that you're a sinner. That you perverted that which is good. Have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not. What good did Dale Morey's life do for me? What good? Well, good. I've been married 3 times. I've been in every jail and prison just about in New York State, Florida, Vermont. Been in every drug rehab, mental hospital. Just tons and tons of them. Lived on the streets. For years and years, lived on the streets as an addict, a drunk, a womanizer. Listen to me. I've done prison time for beating women. I've done prison time for robbing people. I wasn't a goody two-shoe. I didn't go out there and do the things that I was supposed to do. I perverted that which was right. I sinned against God. I done everything in my power to do what was wrong. And what did it profit me? What good is it? You guys see me up here? I stand here tonight. Yes, I have some stuff wrong with me. But most of it was caused because of my sin nature. Do you know, and I was talking to pastor's son-in-law about this, forever and eternity, or until I go up into eternity, that's how I meant to say it, forever until I go to eternity, because I'm going to heaven, just anybody that realizes I'm going, I know where I'm going. That's the sad thing, I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going today? Do you know where you're going? I know where I'm going. But anyway, let me not get on that. Let me just say this. I'm going to suffer an addiction of crystal meth. My body's going to pay that price for the rest of my life. I still have things that goes wrong with my body because of the addiction I had to crystal meth. And I've been off that stuff for years. And I still pay consequences for smoking. I still pay consequences for drinking. My doctor's got liver counts on me all the time just to make sure I'm okay. Because all that, and I haven't drank in years. But she got, my liver count is so messed up that I was, listen to me. When I was 18 years old, I was in rehab, the doctor said, "Mr. Morey, please. You're on the verge of having cirrhosis, but it can be healed if you stop now." Do you think I stopped? That's why she has to keep an eye on things. That's in my medical records that I was on the verge of cirrhosis. They have to keep an eye on that. My stepfather, he died of cirrhosis of the liver. But he didn't drink for like 15, 16 years. He still died of cirrhosis. My doctor was worried about that for me. What did it profit me? What did it profit my three children that I have out there that are all grown now and starting their own life that I was never in their part of their life? The sufferings they go through. What about the women that I divorced? What about their sufferings? Yeah, I was a bad jerk, but what about my mother's sufferings? And my brother and my family? What did it profit me? What good did it do me? I can't go out there and get a good paying job and go out and be able to support my family on my own. I'm talking on my own. Without my wife's help. People just don't want to hire me like that. I can get lucky where I got hired at McDonald's. God opened that door for me. You can laugh at my job all you want, but I know where God has me. He's doing something for me there. You wish you could have my job making my money. I'm just saying. God opened that door for me. There's a couple of reasons why. I had to learn how to deal with people to be in the ministry. I do. I had no. Amy, did I know how to handle people? Listen, at Olean, I used to jump out of cars and punch people in their window because they cut me off. Ask my wife. She's testifying that. The guy ran my feet over and everything else. That's the kind of person I was to people. I'm going to go out there and try to tell people, hey, you know, Jesus loves you. You don't want to listen to me. God has gave me a work ethic since I got saved. That's why I'm where I'm at. I'm a second assistant at McDonald's. I enjoy my job. Why? I go down there and I can preach to them just as well. And I do. You ask them and they know. What did my supervisor send back to me when I told about my back problems? I'll be praying for you, Dale. Now you know that's illegal. But she knows I'm a Christian. That's my supervisor. That's the one who's in the office in Jamestown. How does she know? Because they know my life I live. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, man. My past profited me not nothing. But my future is doing really good.
Amen.
It's doing really good. I'm enjoying my life now. My wife said, I think it was yesterday, she said, she's having to put my socks on and stuff like that. I just can't bend over like that right now. I said, gosh, you could trade me in for a younger model. She goes, yo, with all that we've been through, she goes, I would not trade where we're sitting today for the world.
Oh, Lord.
That's salvation for you. That's what salvation has done for me and my wife and my kids. Why is it so wrong? Why is it so bad? Why is it so... Everybody just wants to pick on it and think it's a joke and fun and games when it's not. I grew up in the world. I'm trying to tell you. Listen, young people, I'm trying to tell you to stay out of the world because it's no good for you. There's a whole church full of people who can sit here and tell you that. The world is no good for you, man. Why? Because one day you're going to have to get on your knees and, you know, you might be giving your testimony. So I remember Dale get up there saying that, and he goes, gosh, I wish I would have listened to the Bible back then. You can save yourself a whole lot of trials and tribulations and hard things, man, that are of the world. You know, God might put you through some things, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot better than going through worldly things. I don't suffer because of worldly things. I suffer because God puts me through things that He don't want in my life anymore. That's not a bad thing to me. It's hard. It's hard. But let me tell you, I lived a hard life already. Why not do it with joy, peace, happiness? This is what I have in my life when I'm going through things. Have you woken up with that lately? I don't go to sleep at night with pills and everything in my body. I go to sleep at night and go to sleep at night. I don't need anything to put me to sleep. I fall asleep.
Amen.
I fall asleep. I have enemies out there from my past life. I'm out there on the internet. I'm not afraid. My conscience does not bother me. If I've done something that day, I take care of it before bed at night. Do we not? Me and my wife don't go to bed mad and all that crazy stuff. We talk, we love each other. Yeah, we might be angry, but at least we said we love each other, give each other a kiss and good night. Really good friend of ours, Kim Wojak, we've all prayed for her dad. They just found her mother dead. Her mother. Who? What a shock to wake up and find your mother dead in the bed when you're expecting your dad to die. Do you
know when you're going? Can you sit here and tell me when are you going to die? You have no clue. And yet you want to play Russian roulette every day.
Every day. Every day you're just spending that day. Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
There's a life out here for you now. God wants to make it better for all of us. There's not a single person in here He does not want to do that to. If you sit here and tell yourself that, then you're a fool. You're letting your foolishness keep you away from a good life. Let your foolishness keep you away from a good life. I told my youth today, down in the Sunday school room, I said, really? You won't live your life because you're worried about what other people think? Who cares what they think? Who cares what they think? They're never going to do anything for you. Never going to do it for you. They just don't care like the people of God care for you. They just don't care like Jesus cares. Come on, this is a person who grew up on the streets. I'm telling you this from my heart. I've never known such love as that I get from the people in here. And I mean, I get love from you guys. I don't question any of your love for me. We may not always get along and agree on things, but I know you love me, and I love you guys. And I wouldn't give that up for the world. I wouldn't trade it in for the gang members that I used to run with, the drug addicts I used to hang out with, and they helped feed my addictions and my poisons and kill me and all that. I wouldn't trade all that. I wouldn't give it all up. And you might be sitting in your head saying, oh, you said it because you're living in the country. I'll go back to the city. Go ahead and send me back to the city. That's fine with me. I came from there. I'm not afraid to go back there either. I'm a safer. Listen, my salvation is going to go with me to a city. It's going to go with me to a jungle. It's going to go wherever God sends me. It's going with me. I'm safe. I'm not just safe in Black Creek and Belfast. I'm safe everywhere I go. Like, I'm not just a Christian here on Sunday mornings. Am I just a Christian here on Sunday mornings, Amy? I mean, is the people really confused on that? I'm a Christian everywhere I go. Go ahead and pop into my house anytime you like. My door's open. I got nothing to hide. Not a thing. Not a thing. You ain't got to ask me for permission to come to my house. Just come. You got nothing to hide. Why? Because my past life profited me not. It did no good for me. No good for me. It will never continue. Listen, it will continue to do no good for you. I promise you that. You don't have to listen to me. That's fine. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Word. Listen to the preachers. Yes, I'm not a pastor and all that. Oh, I'm not even going to get into the preaching thing. I'm not a pastor and all that. That's fine. You know, I don't have control. I don't have power over the church. And that's fine. You know what? God didn't put me on earth for that. He put me for something else. I don't know quite what it is yet. But you know, He says go out and preach unto all nations. He tells all of us to do that. He's talking to, if you want to get technical, He's talking to His 12 disciples there. But people want to take and put that on themselves, but you really need to realize who's telling it to. But anyway, go out and preach. Why can't you preach to your dad, say, if you wanted to? Or somebody you meet at one of your doctor's appointments or something. Who's stopping you? Does God say you can't do that? This is not holy ground. It should be respected, the men behind it and who preaching that. But this here, I don't have to take off much. I can touch this without washing my hands and all that stuff. But there's a lot of guys, a lot of people who want to make that right there holy ground. For somebody who can't get up in here and say something behind it. I don't have any authority over anybody in this church. That is our pastor who has that, not me.
That's right.
I respect that 100%. I never try to cross those boundaries. I don't even get into it. That's his, not mine. This is his pulpit, not mine. He says it's okay. He feels good about me being up here. God's okay with it. We're going to be up here. I'm not a pastor. Not a pastor. This is my new life, by the way. I enjoy being up here. I love preaching. I love Sunday schools. I mean, there's no better joy for me. I better get moving. He that looketh upon me, if any say I have sinned, perverted which was right, and profiteth not, he will deliver his soul from going to the pit. He and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oft times with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to enlighten the light of the living. This is that sorrow and grief that a lost person must come to be saved. God, I just want you to see what He needs you to see. Everybody is saved different. Saved? Let me clear it up. We're saved by Jesus Christ, by His blood alone. That's it. There's no other way for salvation. But the way your salvation comes is different. God does not...
convict me and save me the same way he's going to do Tanya, Amy, you know, so on and so forth.
But let me listen, there's not a person here he wants to refuse.
That's right.
There's never been a person. Charles Manson, everybody know who he is. Do you know if he ever came to true repentance that God would save him?
That's right.
I mean, that's some hard stuff to swallow, but that's Jesus. He died for everything. He didn't just pick and choose. 2 Corinthians. This is that sorrow and grief that people must come to. Let's go ahead and read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7:10. 7:10. 1 Corinthians, I'll say 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. That's what I'm saying. The more Solomon got and learned things, the more he's seen things, the more wisdom he got, the more sorrow and grief he got. Why? Because he's seeing what God's seeing. Listen, lost person, when you're out there seeing, when you finally start opening your eyes to what God is seeing and start seeing it through the Word of God, there's going to be some sorrow and some grief in your life. Because you're starting to recognize and see it from the way God does. You see, human beings don't sit back and go, geez, let's see, how does God think about it? We don't do that, man. We're worried about us. But when God finally starts opening that door for you to start seeing what He wants you to see, there's some sorrow and some grief. And you know what? It says it's not to be repented of. You don't want to turn away. Don't turn away from that godly sorrow. Stay in it. Don't act, God, don't get me out of this, but keep me in it and get me through it. That's where you need to be. He knows what you need to be in. We don't always like it all the time. We think, no, God, this is not where you want me. I know it. Yet He's going, yes, it is. This is where I need you to be. No, God, you need to get me out of it. He's like, you sure? Once I take you out, you're going to go back through it again. You sure you don't want to just... He says, don't, not to be repented of. That means don't turn away from the godly sorrow. Leave that godly sorrow alone. Let it be there. It's going to teach you and show you something you need to see. Don't run from it. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. That's what it says. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow of the world worketh death. Listen, my friends, my people. Carl, you know, this world, man, brings death to people like me and you. That's what they want for us, brother. They want us to die. That's that sorrow, man. Come on, you can do this. Let's go get into this. Let's go get into that. Let's go, you know, join in this and join. That's going to kill. You know what that's going to do? It's going to kill us. You know what? It's not what God wants. That's not His sorrow. His sorrow is showing you, hey, guys, what? Damn, Carl, just stop for 1 minute, please. Just stop. Hold on. Let me just show you something. Let me show you. And he just starts with a little tiny bit, enough where you can handle it and go, that's what he needs you to do. And you start seeing that. And that's the enlightenment. That's a little bit of enlightenment. That's all it takes, even for strong, young, tough guys like me and Carl. I mean, that's what it takes, just for little tough guys like us. God just takes that little thing and goes, bink. And you go, and you start realizing, man, he's right. God's been right the whole time. How can he be wrong? He's not wrong. The world is wrong. The world is doing everything backwards. The Christians aren't doing everything backwards. The world is doing everything backwards. But they want to trick you and fool you into thinking that we're doing everything backwards. Hey, Christians are the crazy ones. Really? Really? I think we have some pretty happy things in here that are Christians. But we're the ones that are crazy doing things wrong. Christians aren't the crazy one. Because we don't drink, we don't do drugs, we don't fornicate and all that stuff. Is that a punishment from God? No, it's a protection. Do you know that God protects the people? He just wants to keep them away from it. Could you imagine, Amy, if you would have listened? And, you know, staying a virgin like God intended you to? The protection you would have had in your life? That would have stopped. That would have closed a whole lot of doors in your life. Tell me it wouldn't have. God's not doing it to punish anybody in here. Or don't drink and don't do this because I want to punish you. No, He's doing it to protect you. To protect the one sitting next to you. How many people, and I'm not slamming anybody because I have 3 kids of my own that I didn't take care of and I didn't raise. But just think of how many children would have a mommy and daddy together, living together in a home today if we would listen to what God wants us to listen to.
right.
Just think about that.
If for nothing else, just think about the children and the price they had. Why? I paid that price as a. I was raised by my mother. I wasn't raised with a mommy and daddy. I was tortured by my mother's boyfriends. Tortured, beat, fingers burnt, kneeling on rice. I mean, all that. Trust me, I went through it.
What did God, if somebody would have came in, married my mother, that was a man, a Christian man, and changed that household for us?
It just didn't happen that way. And God had His plan. Am I mad at God for that? Not at all. I'm not mad at what I went through. God knew it was good for me. If I was rich, I wouldn't be saved today. Probably be a spoiled little brat spinning everything, not caring about anything in the house of God. Why would one not sorrow and grief over learning the state that they are in front of a holy and just God? We need to understand that when we stand here as a human being, whether it be saved or unsaved, there's a holy and just, a righteous God standing before us telling us, listen, without the blood of Christ covering you, you're nothing. Okay? He loves you enough to die for you. You're something, but you're nothing because you're not what you have without Jesus. Okay? That's sin nature. How would you like, well, I don't know, that's a hard, I mean, how would you like if you had somebody who you were really close to just come up to you and say, you know what, we're going to sever this now. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. It's over. That's what we do to God. That's what we do to Jesus every single day that we turn our backs on Him. He's got that relationship wide open. He's never closed the door on anybody. He's waiting even to this very second. He's waiting for whatever person that's in this room that's closest to getting saved. He's like, here we are. I'm waiting for you. His arms are wide open. He's not shutting that door. He's waiting for you to come in. He's wooing you. I mean, He's got your heart open. He's ready to get in there and start working in your life. And you know what? We keep turning our back and saying, no, not now. No, not now. No, not now. It needs to be now. What else are we waiting for? The world to get better? For Him, the Father, to blow that trumpet, Him come down here, and then what? You're in trouble. Don't wait. Don't wait. We've been destroyed enough, don't you think? We've been walked on enough. We've been tossed around enough. Why wait? Why wait? Let Him give you the life that He wants for you. I don't know anybody's life in here. I don't know what God wants for every single person in here, but I know He's got something for all of us. It's not the life that we're living now. I promise you that. It was by His goodness. Okay, it was by His goodness to bring me to this realization of my life that I am saved today. Romans 2:4, real quick. Romans 2:4. You know, God had to bring me to that place where I realized I was a sinner. That I perverted everything which was right. This Bible speaks volumes when it tells you these things. It touches my heart. I go, man, that was me. The people, you know why a lot of people don't like the Bible? Because it tells them what and who they really are. It makes a lot of people mad. It takes a lot of people off because they really start seeing who and what they are. But that's okay. It doesn't bother God that His Word is going out there touching your heart like that. It doesn't bother Him a bit. If it bothered Him, He wouldn't never put it in the Bible. He wouldn't put men of God up here to preach to us the truth. God is not worried about hurting your feelings. God wants you to know that your feelings, Pastor used to say it all the time. You know, there's a few people here who needs their feelings hurt. They need to go through depression and all that. I used to look at him and go, dude, are you crazy? But you know what? He was absolutely right. And I am not bragging, but when I first came here, I was taking 19 pills a day for all my cycle my problems that I had. I take none today. And I'm not telling any of you guys to get off it. I'm just telling you I was delivered from it. And no, I don't pick on people from taking them because my wife is on one right now. She's been on one for years. She'll get off it when God gets her off it. I can't take her off of that. But I just know that God delivered me through that. And God sees me through that depression. And I come out the other side of that. I don't have to live in depression, only as for as long as He keeps me there. I know that the light's going to come back on the other side of that tunnel. I know that I'm going to come out of that depression, but you know what? It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't make me crazy. Them pills did. I was almost 300 pounds trying to kill myself all the time. All that crazy stuff, Carl, that medicine had me doing, dude. Crazy. Crazy. I don't go through any of that now. God has delivered me. God has delivered me from that. Will he deliver you? That's between you and him. Please don't stop taking your medicine, because I did. Okay? That's just something God did for me. I don't know what he has planned for you. I'm just telling you what he did for me. Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches and goodness of forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I was talking about sorrow and grief, now I'm talking about goodness. Well, what's the goodness of God? Even taking time to look down upon you and work in your life. Going on that cross and shedding that blood is even some goodness from God. To save a person like me, to save a person like anybody sitting in these pews today, that's the goodness of God. Do you know that the next breath you take is the goodness of God? My God, we didn't know Ken's mother was going to pass away. Boom. She was taking care of the man that she was with for 45 years, wasn't it, Annie? A 45-year marriage. She died taking care of her husband. How's that? She took her last breath. She's no longer here. Let me ask you something. What makes you think you could be? You know what I told Luke the other day? I said, Luke, you're 9 years old. Do you know that little boy's 9 years old died? Do you know 8 years old, 7 year old, 6 years old? Do you know they die? I'm not saying God would hold. I don't know the age of accountability. I'm just saying. Nobody knows when God is going to call you out of this world. So why are you playing Russian roulette? Why not let the goodness of God? He brought you to this church, people. He lets you get in here with somebody, and it's not me. I'm talking about our pastor and the men of God. He teaches us the King James Bible is His Word. He went through that in 1 Corinthians 13. That made perfect sense to me. Why that you would use something like that to show people that the King James Bible is the Word of God. I mean, that made perfect sense to me today when he went through it. I was like, man, that's awesome. We could have somebody up here teaching us other things. I don't even like calling the NIV a Bible. I don't even call it a Bible. I have a name for it. It's called the Devil's Bible. That's what it is. The devil said, I'm like the Most High God. He's got his own version of the Bible. How's that? Sending people to hell. The NIV, NSV, and all them V's and K's. I mean, all that stuff is sending people to hell. They believe they're saved. That's a sad thing. That's a very sad thing going on there. And that's the devil's Bible. He said, I'll be like the Most High God. The Most High God's got the Bible that saves people, saves them for eternity, changes their life here on earth, gives them something worth living for, gives them hope, gives them peace, gives them joy, gives them a home. And we're wrong for using the King James Bible. Can you believe we're wrong for that? But somebody can get up there with an NIV or KSV or whatever you want to call it, go ahead and preach all this nonsense, take the blood out of everything, forget all the forgiveness, don't even mention Jesus anywhere, and you're saved and going to heaven. I'm sorry to tell you, but the Bible says there's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ and His blood and Him alone. And anything that takes His blood out of there, anything that takes the way of salvation out of there, you're lost, dying, and going to hell. Sorry. That's just the way it goes. Don't listen to this foolishness of this world. That's what they want. The foolishness of this world. We'll use the NIV. Okay? When God is working sorrow and repentance in your life, it's not for bad, but it's for good. You may not feel it right now. You may not think it's for good, but I promise you this, the outcome will be good. Let God, listen, it said that godly sorrow should not be repented of. Leave it alone. Let God work in your life. Let God work in your heart. Let God work in your mind. Let Him do what He has to do. I promise you, as I stand here today, that I'm breathing, God is good on His Word. He's good on His promise. He will make good on it. I guarantee it. To just stand on what God has for you, you'll be